War Arts and Adventure summits the airwaves. This is the Ogden Arts and Adventure Show. I'm R. Brandon Long, alongside
Todd Oberndorfer.
Yes, and we are your hosts for the greatest arts and adventure podcast in all the land. In studio today, we have another full house. Brandy Bosworth, comms manager for Ogden Nature Center. Thanks, Brandy, for joining us for the 175th time, I believe.
Right? Which means it must be April.
It is spring at the Nature Center.
Spring at the Nature Center, so we'll talk a little Earth Day and the action going on there. Then we have Tony Tucker and Jordan from Tucker Speed Performance First. We'll get into, so there is an enormous event happening here for First Friday in June, and we'll kind of dive into that, and that's why they're here. So we are combining motorcycles and art, as far as I know, correct?
Correct.
And it's going to be take up a lot of the whole Monarch here, and then I don't know what Levi is doing here. I don't have a camera on you yet, so
it's a big weekend.
You'll have to squeeze in here if you say anything. So we will jump right in. Brandy, let's start with you and get the down low on Earth Day and figure out what's going on. This is the Earth and Asphalt podcast. So Brandy,
yes,
what's happening?
Earth Day is all arts and adventure, I would say, but it's slated for Saturday, April 20th from 11 to 4 at, of course, the Ogden Nature Center. There's a nominal fee to get in for adults and children. And we have exhibits, art exhibits, birdhouses galore, 119 entries this year. So,
and you just announced the winners?
We just announced the winners, and they've all been planted. That's a big undertaking, but they're in the ground and they look awesome. They're so fun. I mean, there's everything from like serious woodworkers that have spun their, whatever you call that when you spin wood on a thing, lathe.
Yeah.
And to like arts and crafts birdhouses, but they're so cool. Such a good thing.
Does every birdhouse get a space?
Every birdhouse gets a space. Nice. It could be made of pop.
Everyone that makes that wins.
Everyone that makes
gets a space. Yeah.
How many don't make it? Were there rejected bird? What happens to the rejected birdhouse?
Okay, we do have a little pile of like, they're not so sturdy. They're not going to even make it through one storm.
Oh.
So we put them out for the opening event, which is coming up, and then. They don't make it, and then they get tossed or go back to home where they came from.
Understood.
Fair, yeah.
But just a few of those. Honestly, the majority are very worthy birdhouses. They're like beautiful works of art, so they're totally worth it.
Well, and I've seen like Lego birdhouses out there, so it's not like, I mean, you can build some tough stuff.
Hey, toilet paper rolls.
Yeah,
toilet paper rolls. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But some of them just, it's like, you built that, and they're detailed and gorgeous works of art.
They did it for you. They did it for the Nature Center.
They're really cool. The winner this year, he found this vintage radio on Birdsong Trail. Beautiful radio. And then he built all around it with radio parts. And it's cool.
Because the radio's just hanging out on the trail?
Yeah.
We were getting rid of stuff up at Grandma's house.
That got thrown over the edge and landed on.
Was not expecting that to happen.
So that's a winner.
Like, I can't get rid of that damn thing.
It shows up at the Nature Center. Do you know off the top of your head how long the Nature Center's been doing the birdhouse?
This is our 31st year.
Wow. I knew it was a long time.
Oh, yeah. I know. And I've been there for 21 of those. Okay. We won't talk about that. So Earth Day, April 20th, tons of, I'm going to say it slowly, sustainability specialists, environmental experts, and then, you know, lots of food trucks, arts and crafts for kids. Every vendor or exhibitor will have like either a swag giveaway kind of item or an activity to participate in. So a pretty extensive list. Like I'm looking at this, there's everything from e-bikes to the great old broads for wilderness. Of course.
Wait, time out. Great old broads for wilderness.
Yeah,
information.
Tell me more about
these. Are like your most badass activist, environmentalist, ladies.
Okay,
ladies. Who are truly like advocating for wilderness. Like they're advocates of the Great Salt Lake.
Okay.
They're advocates for open space, trails.
Okay.
Anything that has to do with that. And I'm an honorary member.
You're badass.
Congrats, I think.
So, yeah, it's just the old broads part that I'm still adjusting to, but it's there. Anyway, you know, our good friends, Trails Foundation of Northern Utah, will be there. They always bring a great bunch of things. You can meet spiders, of course, our birds of prey. There's tons of stuff for kids, face painting, storytelling. There's a puppeteer that's really fantastic. And then all kinds of entertainment, nature, poetry, dancing, African dancing, drumming, all the things that are... Oh, and then my very favorite is the native species plant sale. So like your Waterwise species from Willard Bay Gardens, they come every year with a huge array of plants that you can purchase. Mm. So big fair kind of day for Earth Day. So come out, learn, play, honor Earth Day.
Okay. You're missing one piece on there.
Go.
Performance, performance piece on there.
Yeah, yeah. Celtic Beat.
Yes, my daughter will be there. So
how could I forget it?
I'm playing the tunes.
Oh, you are awesome.
Yeah. So it's funny because I emailed Sabrina because Leray is 70, God knows what, years old and still teaches dance to the kids.
Loves it. Passion.
But she does not like pushing play on the music, right? Like, this is very stressful to her. I'm like, so I have become the default DJ, essentially, for pressing play on the music for the kids.
Good.
Yeah, so I'll be there.
What is she going to do when you graduate? Child moves?
She's going to have to hire me. She's going to have to pay me because my kid's not there anymore. It's been like 3 years. So not very many. But yeah, Celtic Beat, the whole crowd there that sees them gathers around to watch their little performance, which is about 20 minutes or something, and then it's over. So, yeah, Irish dancing.
It's fun. Like if you haven't seen Irish dancing, it's a whole different thing. It's really fun to watch, and the kids are just energetic. They're into it. I think it's fantastic for them.
And when you think Earth Day, you think Irish dancing. I do.
100%. You go straight to Irish dancing. 100%.
Right up the line.
We're going to have Irish dancing and African dancing. So, you know, we're bringing it all.
Nice.
Yeah. It is fun.
And you're going to push the button.
I'm DJ.
You got the music.
Promote me a little.
You got the music chosen? Now, they give me the music.
Yeah, no, it's all. And do you know they're called Reels?
Reels.
Those songs? Yeah, R-E-E-L-S. And that's the short Irish songs that they dance to.
Yeah.
So then I also, if we have time, just want to mention that our Fly with the Flock Fun Run is coming up.
Oh, I'll be there too.
Yes. DJing, bringing the magic.
I'm going to actually DJ that one, though.
Yes. Yeah. And the Fly with the Flock 5K Fun Run. I have to say that one slowly too.
Fly with the Flock 5K Fun Run.
So it's bird related music.
I need to get to the bird song for sure. We got to dial that in this
Okay,
year.
Okay.
So yes, it's a 5K, but there's a 2.5K option. There are walkers. There are serious runners. You kind of go at your own speed around the trails, the gorgeous trails of the Ogden Nature Center. And afterwards, you get a pancake breakfast.
That's the best part.
Best part. Yeah. Also, fun fact for this year, the first 300 to register, and we're already like over 200, so get on it. The first 300 to register get knee-high bird leg socks this year.
Oh, I saw those. Pro socks. Yeah. You need the bird socks.
Get in on that.
Yeah.
You get knee-high, you know, then you get your shirt, you get all your goodie bags, all your swag. But the knee-high bird leg socks are extra motivation to get your registration in ASAP before April 16th.
Awesome.
I want to see you wearing yours, Brandon.
Well, I haven't seen you. I think you left your podcast socks here. So, you know, I need you to wear your podcast socks.
There were podcast socks. Whose socks were those?
Those are John's. You designed the logo for them.
Oh, for the Safety Council.
Yes, yes. Speaking up for safety. So the Speaking Up for Safety podcast, we produce it for Utah Safety Council. And John Wojcikowski, who's a friend of ours, he's totally into merch. And so he ordered podcast socks. I'm like, of all the things merch that you could buy, you bought like
socks.
So like, of course.
Safety socks.
Safety socks. Yeah. So speaking for safety.
Well, this brainchild of the bird socks was Sarah Major from Intermountain Health, and they're our sponsor this year.
Awesome.
Perfect. So that's pretty cool that they dialed that in and they're providing those bird leg socks for the Nature Center.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Nice motivation. Also, we have coming up really fast.
Yeah.
In April, just, you know, April is April. It's Earth Month, so we go gaga. We have guided bird walks on Saturdays We have a BioBlitz City Nature Challenge where our naturalists will teach folks how to use the iNaturalist app on your phone to become citizen scientists of your own and kind of document, but it all goes into a database where the data is used by many organizations. So that's fun. That's on April 27th. And also on April 27th, Big Day at the Nature Center, there's a little forest bathing class. So
if you say forest bathing?
Forest bathing, get into like the zen of the Nature Center, quietly enjoy.
Todd, have you done this?
Oh, all the time. A few nights of the week.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't. Obviously.
Not a lot of forest bathing in the terrace?
No, there's zero forest bathing in the terrace. I mean, everyone can see everything in the terrace.
You are removed from nature.
I have a story. Oh, that's probably for off air. But yeah, there's a backyard bathing story on that. Nice. Anyway, yeah.
Different. No, this is nature bathing. Like just getting into the nature moment, mm-hmm. quietly, kind of meditative kind of space.
And Earth Day is on the 20th, so it's actually on the day this year.
It's 420. And it's the best thing because you can go hit up Earth Day at the Nature Center, hang out. It's like the pregame because then you can come back to the Monarch for the beer fest that takes you into the night. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a fun day in Ogden for sure.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't even think they overlap at all. I think like you guys wrap about the time the beer fest starts. So
I'll keep that in mind. I have to go to a wedding that night.
No,
and it's 420, so there'll be something else happening after the after.
You don't know. It's you don't know. Yeah,
I'm just telling you what I'm doing.
We asked about beer with the 420 ingredient, and we were told that you can't do that in Utah.
Oh, the Monarch is just not cool enough.
Brandy, thank you so much for updating us on all the things. We always enjoy having you here. Do you want to swap?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
This is what I love about this show is, you know, there's no judgment, you know. We got Earth, and then we got, like, exhaust on motorcycles.
So
we're going to... so, Tony, talk to me about that. Are you seeing... Because you're a... Tucker Speed is a Harley-Davidson, like shop. So mechanics and retail specialty shop, essentially. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you guys get pushes on that at all on the environmental side? Like, hey, watch what we're doing and stuff. Or is that not entered necessarily the Harley space? I guess I don't know.
I would say in Utah we're a little bit behind the times, but around the country, California mainly.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Harley or motorcycle or just anything automotive. There are definitely pushes against, you know, pollution and, you know, the EPA is pushing a lot of things.
Yeah.
It hasn't really affected us yet, but I think it's, you know, the time's coming.
Well, I was on your website today and I saw some pipes that were pretty sweet. They were like $1,200 or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are they making pipes that like help you put out less exhaust for states like California where there's rules for that now?
There are. Yeah. So a lot of the big companies who have the money to do so are developing products that are EPA compliant. Mm-hmm. You know, they can be both performance and EPA compliant at the same time, which, mm-hmm. you know, is a lot of people don't realize that. They think that it has to be non-compliant to be high performance, and they're able to do both.
Yeah.
So yeah, they are out there.
Yeah.
But I think right now, I mean, I would say still 75% of like the exhaust that you would go shop for today are probably still non-EPA compliant. They'll be stamped for like race use only or track use only.
Oh, interesting.
Is kind of the loophole. Right. You know, so.
So wait, can I buy a race use only and just ride it around town?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean.
As long as they stamp it, then you're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, you know. What you do with it is up to you. And
you're not responsible for that, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
You know, we'll see what the future holds. But as of today, no.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me about you. You're, you know, this is your shop. And this is something that I don't know if when you were a kid, if you remember the first time you were on a bike or how did you even like get into wanting to be a Harley mechanic?
You know, that didn't come till later in life. You know, I have photos of me at 3 years old on, you know, toy motorcycles. So I think it started pretty early, but growing up, I grew up riding a lot of off-road, motocross, desert racing, and that
around
type
here?
Of stuff.
Around here? From around here?
Yeah, I grew up in Utah.
Sweet.
Yep. My family was always into that stuff. We raced a lot, you know, different disciplines, you know, everything from RC cars to drag racing, all that kind of stuff. In my early 20s, I got into Harleys, and on a whim one day just decided that's what I wanted to do with my life. So I picked up and moved to Phoenix, went to school to, you know, specialize in being a Harley mechanic.
They've got a special school in Phoenix for that?
Yeah. Yep.
What's it called?
It's called MMI, or Motorcycle Mechanics Institute. Okay.
I think I've seen commercials for
it. Yeah. Yeah. And it's legit. I mean, and the curriculum is all built by Harley Davidson. So it's, you know, so when you leave the school, you have, you know, the qualifications that Harley requires for you to be a technician. So
I don't know. I can't remember where I first heard how the history of Harley, which I thought was super interesting because Indian was ahead of the game. And then Harley got the military contract. Is that right? And then Indian basically went out of business because Harley was making all the bikes for World War.
For the war. Yeah.
Two or one, I think.
For both, actually. Both? Yeah, for both. But, I mean, we can go into that because I'm a history buff.
I'm interested. That's a really cool story how Harley survived.
But Indian also did get military contracts. Oh. So in the pre, like, 20s and earlier, in that time frame, I think there were upwards of like 100 different motorcycle manufacturers in the U.S.
Holy cow.
And only about 3 or 4 survived the First World War and the Depression.
Wow.
And 2 of those being Harley and Indian. Indian eventually went out of business, I think, in the 50s. And then it's come back and changed hands and looked differently through the years. Harley has been in business since 1903, nonstop. So, and Harley was building motorcycles for the war, you know, World War I and II.
Yeah.
Which was a big part of them surviving the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, you know, through the wars and the Depression and all that stuff. So, yeah.
They teach you any of that in the school, or are they just like day one, then you go right into gears and sockets and all that?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Well, at the school, when you first get there, because it's not just Harley, it's all brands of motorcycles.
Oh, gotcha.
So when you go to the school, the first 9 months is like general motorcycle mechanic knowledge. And then after that first 9 months, you choose your brand of choice, and then you go into whether it's Harley or Honda or Yamaha, or you could do all of them, just depends on what you want to pay for. But then you take your brand of choice. So, but yeah, I mean, it's not really a history lesson. Although when I was there, and I was there in 2004, they offered a model or a class called Early Model, which is all the old Harleys. We didn't really get to work on them.
And by old, how old?
At that time, it was like the Shovelhead era, so like the 70s and older. But they're real picky because they didn't want students working on that stuff that they had because they couldn't replace it. So they had it there, but they didn't really let you work on it. So that class was kind of a history lesson. But the modern stuff we had to, you know, we got to put our hands on and work on all day in the modern class. But the early model class was more of a history lesson than anything. So
now, when the time came for you to choose, was it always Harley?
Yeah. Since
you were young, since before you started going to school, was it always Harley for you?
No, because I grew up riding dirt bikes, you know, riding Hondas and Yamahas, you know. So I, you know, in my, like when I was about 20 or 21, I got my first Harley and I fell in love with it. And at that, you know, and at like 23, I decided that's what I wanted to do for a career.
That's actually still pretty young to figure out what in the hell you want to do with your life. You know what I mean? Like, some of us are still like, oh, I should probably figure that out.
I think I legit like saw a commercial on TV one day, you know, like,
yeah, it worked.
MMI. And yeah. I like called him up and signed up. And then told my wife, hey, we're moving to Phoenix. I already signed up for school. And she's like, Okay, I guess we're going to Phoenix.
That could have gone two ways.
Yeah, it could have.
Well, I want to hear about what you do at the shop. I might have a project for you. My Uncle Joe has a bike, and it is a, I don't know the year, but it is a late 70s, early 80s. It's the Cafe Racer, 1000cc Harley Davidson.
Oh, the XLC.
And I don't know what's broke on it, but it doesn't, but it is, it's beautiful. It looks immaculate. And he was diving into it for some time, and he hasn't rode it for what, 10, 15, 20 years or something. But I'd love to bring it down and see.
Oh, that'd be great.
See what you got. Yeah. See what it would take to get that thing running. Personal reason, because I want it in a bad way, but I'd love to get it running so that, I mean, he's getting up there. What is he, 70, 76, 74, somewhere around there? And so if he could ride that thing and then donate that to me when he goes, you know, that's worth paying for and bringing that down to Tucker Speed to figure out, you know. I just didn't know, do you work on stuff that old still? Or,
you know, at this point in time, I do a little bit. I'm very selective with those customers.
Yeah, yeah.
And we also save that type of project for winter.
Smart.
Like starting like now through October.
You guys are slammed.
We're slammed and we're like 6 weeks out on appointments.
Yeah.
For stuff that's, I don't want to say it's easy work, but it's modern bikes. Parts are readily available.
Right.
You know, things are easy to get. Project like that is something that, you know, is going to take a little bit of time and research.
We could bring it in October and pick it up in May.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of 2026.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we should get it ready for the 2-Bit Moto Show.
That'd be a cool bike.
It's a gorgeous bike. It's rare. Vintage,
I mean, the bike doesn't even have to be running to be in the show.
True.
We just push it in here.
I have a picture over here, Brandy. No one can see this but you because you're over here. Let's see. Look at that. That's the Cafe Racer.
Oh, completely sweet.
Yeah, it doesn't look like, when you think Harley, it doesn't really look like Harley because it's the Cafe Racer style. But I'd share my screen. Like a dark bullet bike, which is the only thing I've ever owned. And so, what kept you away from that? I had three Hondas in my early like teens to early 20s, and then I got scared that someone was going to hit me, and I sold the last one and never made it back. Why did you lean towards, you know, the Harleys versus
like sport bikes?
Yeah,
or
sport bikes. Yeah.
I think it was the culture.
Yeah.
No, you know, more so than the bike. At first, I'd say today it's maybe more the machine, the bike, the motorcycle. Mm-hmm. But I think it was the culture in the beginning, that kind of, you know, outlaw motorcycle club type culture.
It's badass.
You know, it was cool from the outside looking in, and it's still cool today, but it's definitely, I have a different point of view from it, you know, kind of 20 years into the industry at this point than I did back then.
The good, bad,
both.
Indifferent.
Yeah. A little bit of both.
Sometimes you see too much. What do they say? Never meet your heroes.
Yeah. A little bit of that. Yeah. I mean, I'd be interested to hear from these guys what attracted these guys, because they're both newer into the industry than I am.
Yeah.
And I would be interested to see what attracted them.
Because it I've never heard it from them. It's a culture thing. Yeah. Let's put that question towards both of you.
So I have a similar background as Tony. I grew up riding dirt bikes, racing dirt bikes. My whole family raced. And I think for me, it was kind of the same thing. It's like the culture of just the Harleys. Like, you kind of just feel like a badass when you're riding it, you know, and it's just kind of that. Yeah, just kind of that culture. But also, I think I'd rather ride a slow bike fast than a fast bike slow. So like to take something like what Tony races is a, you know, big full bagger, and that's what I ride as well. And it's like, those aren't bikes that are necessarily meant to ride the way that Tony races them. And so to kind of take a bike that's not necessarily meant for that and to like push it to its limits and like see what you can get out of that bike and kind of see how far you can push that bike is just kind of more of like an adrenaline rush than like some crazy fast bike that you already know is fast and you know it's capable of that. It's just, to me, it's not like as thrilling as like a bike that probably isn't meant for that and trying to push it to its limits.
You said bagger, so I'm guessing like the touring bikes.
Yeah, the touring bikes. Saddlebags. Yeah. Yep, so okay. It's full dresser, so full fairing and bags and everything. So.
Yeah. Jordan?
I don't really know what attracted me to it. My dad and uncles and everyone were into Harleys and had Harleys growing up, so it was just kind of always
around. That always helps.
Yeah, for sure. And my dad also threatened my life if I bought a bullet bike. He hated them, and he said he didn't want a son to get killed on one because they're so fast, and I don't know. But my first bike was actually a Yamaha, but it was a Yamaha chopper that was trying to look like a Harley. So it was, same thing, I guess, same idea.
Yeah, and was it belt driven or was it engine?
It was actually shaft driven. It was an XS 650.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. But
it was just cheap. I was young and didn't know what I was looking at. And it was, flat black with red wheels and brass knuckle shifter. And same thing. I was 16 and was just like, that thing's badass. And
I think we've all had one of those. My first one was a CB 750 hardtail, zero suspension. I'd ride that thing all the way to Vegas and back. And I wonder why I have back problems now, but that's why.
We actually have a funny story about my first bike too, because the guy, it passed, changed hands a few times, and the guy that ended up with it messaged us on Facebook one day and was like, hey, I have this old project bike that's not running and I'm trying to find a front end for it and trying to find this and trying to find that. And Tony's showing it to me. He's like, look at this crappy bike that someone wants us to work on. And he shows me a picture. I'm like, that was my first motorcycle.
That's a great story.
That's awesome.
So Jordan, what would be your dream bike right now? Oh, there's a list.
I don't know. I honestly, right now, if I could buy any bike, I would probably buy just like brand new Road Glide, a bagger, just kind of a newer and step up from what I have now. There's some old bikes that are cool and there's some that I like, but I'm not really into old bikes as much just because I don't like, fixing them all the time. I just like riding them. So
What about the custom side of things, and how deep do you go, and how popular is that? Because what was it 10 years ago when the custom thing was popping on the reality shows and stuff? And so is that still a thing, or are you going more traditional these days?
Yeah, I think recently the scene has changed. The trend has changed. And I would say the custom world is probably 20 years ago, like early 2000s.
Okay.
Is when you've seen
that goes by so fast.
Like biker build off on the Discovery Channel and that type of stuff.
West Coast Choppers
and Orange County. Those guys. And that scene's kind of died out. People realized what a lot of those bikes were was a lot of money and motorcycles that didn't perform very well. Mm-hmm. They didn't handle well. They stretched them out so long and the geometry was built for looks and not for function. Mm-hmm. And it was cool for a while, but it kind of went away. And the new fad, if you want to call it that, I don't know if it is or not, it's debatable, is performance. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago when I was working in the dealerships, if a guy came into the dealership and said, I want to put taller suspension on my motorcycle, we would have laughed him out of the dealership. Mm-hmm. But that's what everybody's doing today. Because they want performance. Basically, what we're doing is taking sport bike parts and putting them on Harleys now to make them faster, handle better, stop, better brakes. Mm-hmm. And that's what's trendy right now is how good can I make this Harley, with these performance parts, with, performance suspension, hot rod motor, big brakes, and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of the new trend. And that's really what we specialize in, is all things performance related. So whether you want to build a hot rod motor, we do dyno tuning at the shop, suspension, brakes, all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where it's at currently.
Very good. And then let's dive into the event coming up here in June. So June 7th, you're basically taking over the Monarch. So first Friday, but the seventh day of the sixth month of the year 2024. And we have always struggled with, we meaning the arts side of things here at the Monarch, struggled with the car show, because the car show is like a black hole. It just sucks all the people down there. So we're going to combat that with the motorcycle show here at the Monarch. So talk to us about that.
Yeah. So the fine folks at the Monarch reached out to us and said, we want to put on a motorcycle show. And I think in the beginning, they really just wanted us to kind of invite some motorcycles up, put them on display, give away a trophy to the best bike or whatever. And it was just going to be kind of an addition to their already operating First Friday.
Right.
And then me and Jordan get talking, and then we invite Levi into the mix, and ideas start flying, and we basically are just taking over the night and the whole facility and putting on a...
Levi, is this your fault?
It's all Levi's fault.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's all Levi's fault. But yeah, I mean, we're taking over the parking lot. We're taking over every piece of real estate inside the building. And between, you know, and we can go into the details, but we're going to have a motorcycle show in the upper parking lot. We're going to have a smaller show going on inside, art happening inside, arts, you know, artists down the hallway here.
And so these are artists that you're finding. So you're creating the art vendors.
Yeah. We're bringing all the art vendors, and it's all somewhat motorcycle related. Mm-hmm.
I think Jordan kind of said it best. We're trying to bridge the gap between motorcycles and art, because motorcycles is a way of us expressing our creativity. And, you know, and so we're just kind of trying to bridge that gap. You know, when he's building a motorcycle, that's like his creative way of, you know, and his artistic abilities, whether it's looked at that or not. So we're just trying to kind of bring those two together.
Yeah.
Are you going to have like a learn to ride thing area?
Learn to ride.
No.
They had one behind the Newgate Mall like last weekend, and I almost pulled over.
I know some guys that work there.
Yeah. But like what Levi was saying, we want to bridge the gap between motorcycles and art. But there's also so many artists and creative people within the motorcycle community. You know, we have a ton of photographers, we have a ton of painters, you know, videographers. There's just a lot of creative people in our space. So we just figured it would be a cool way to bring those two things together and kind of showcase the bikes and, you know, all the talent kind of in our industry. So yeah.
I failed to ask you what your position is, Jordan.
Internet guy?
Internet. Is that a thing? Well, I've heard way more than that.
Yeah. Marketing. Basically everything that's not wrenching on bikes. Marketing, okay. You know, I do all of our social media and handle our website and at this point web orders, all that stuff. So
Podcast, YouTube.
Podcast, yeah.
Instagram reels, Facebook content,
yeah,
TikTok.
We're trying to pawn some of that off on Levi though.
My kind of guy. Yeah, apparently Levi knows how to do this.
Oh yeah, sometimes I know what I'm doing, but I think.
What's your handle?
At Levi X Welch.
Okay, I'm gonna look it up. Yeah. You got a poster?
Yeah.
It has notes on it we can talk about.
Well, I just wanted to kind of, you know, give a quick rundown of everything that's going on at the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot.
There's a lot going on. Yeah. And we're trying to figure out right now how to get all this information out there in a kind of clean, organized manner. Because, you know, I've talked to people and I'm like, yeah, we have two shows going on, two bike shows. And they're like, so when's the second show? And I'm like, no, they're happening at the same time. They're just one's outside and one's inside.
So let me think about that. So I think one bike show, but two sections, or one bike show, one's paid or one's special, or what's the separation?
So the separation is what's happening in the upper parking lot is an open to the public show.
Right. Okay.
And we have room for 65 bikes out there.
Open to the public as in the public can submit their bikes.
Yeah, we're running it as So you have to submit your motorcycle, submit a photo, what it is, the category it falls in, and we're going to go through the hundreds of, you know, submissions and pick out the best 65.
Yeah.
And so then the inside one is an invitational where it's basically builders that we admire, we like their work, and we've invited them to come and showcase their bikes because like how they're built, they're unique and stuff like that. So
we have one bike show that has an open category and an invitational category.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
And the invitational bikes will be inside the Is it the gist? The gist.
Yeah, you. It doesn't matter.
I say it wrong every time, and there's only two ways to say it.
The gist.
This is the gist, yeah.
And then, yeah, we have all the art vendors going to be set up. We're going to have some, like, artists doing live art. Like, we're going to have some tattooers tattooing the night of.
Awesome.
Some, hot rod pinstripe guys, like pinstriping helmets or skateboard decks or whatever it is they're pinstriping. We have a guy that's going to be painting. I mean, you lined that guy up. Is he painting like on canvas?
His name's Rob. He just does like live painting.
Love it.
He does both, obviously painting and live paintings, but he'll just do live painting. So we're just going to have him doing it here on canvas and just kind of as the show is going. I'm not exactly sure what he's planning on doing, but we're not.
Sometimes
really.
I don't know until the night of.
Yeah, and I think we're just going to kind of let him loose and just kind of do his thing. And I mean, that's how artists work best anyway, so.
So because it's open category, where do people go to, submit
their bikes? Yep. Yeah, on our website.
Okay.
If you go to the Tucker Speed website, tuckerspeed.com, there's an events tab. Jump on there, and there's all the information about the 2-Bit Moto Show. Mm-hmm. You can submit your bike, and also you'll see you can submit. So we have a photo contest and a film festival contest, both happening that night, and you can submit your photos there. We're going to pick the best 5 to 7 photos, and then we're going to print them and hang them here at the show the night of, and then select the winner. And we actually, for the photo contest, we got Hot Bike Magazine to sponsor it. The winner of the photo contest is going to get their photo in the magazine and then a write-up about the photographer. So
that's fantastic.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, have you done an event like this before?
No.
Nice and good. And I'm like, and you have months in the planning. Like,
he's got weeks.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one thing that we've talked about when we first did this. It's like, there's events like this that happen everywhere else, but not in Utah. And it's time Utah has something like
that. Yeah, why is that? It's probably what happened. Yeah, it should happen in Ogden. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, at least we have that to work from. We've gone to all these events around the country.
Oh, of course.
And so we've seen it happen.
So, you know, what it's supposed to look like.
We have a reference, you know. So we're just trying to emulate.
Totally not just making this up on the fly.
Yeah, maybe a little.
A little bit.
Definitely going by the seat of our pants.
Okay, and fair. One other thing that's probably an important distinction between the two bike shows is the invitational show inside is kind of just our way of showcasing, you know, like Tony said, some of the builders and some of the talent in our industry. The outside, the open bike show, we're actually doing a $500 cash prize for best in show. There's 6 different categories, different bike categories. And then we're also donating a big portion of the money from that to the Ogden Youth Impact.
So let's clarify for everyone listening. There's not $500 for 6 categories, correct?
Just one.
Best in show.
And then a trophy for the other categories. But it is also going to the Ogden Youth Impact.
And then that charity, from the Best in Show will then be an invited builder for the next year's show. So it's kind of like winning your way into the invited.
And what are some of the categories then?
We've got a modern category, a vintage category.
This is modern Harley.
Yeah, modern Harley. Vintage, we've got a chopper category, a metric category, and off-road.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good clarification.
Did you say performance?
Performance. Yeah.
And so I guess because we were talking about Harley dealer, Harley shop, but for the show, is it all bikes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one thing that we're trying to emphasize because we work in the, in the Harley world or the American V-twin world, and that's who our following is. Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to reach out because we want this show to be a motorcycle show, not a Harley show. Okay. So we want to, make a point of that because we do have an off-road category, a metric / European, motorcycle category. So yeah, we want those people to come out or submit their bikes and then at least come out and attend the show.
I suddenly got excited for this. I don't know why.
I just
it just hit me like, this thing's going to be awesome. Well,
this clicks to have a show like that, particularly in this creative district. It's just perfect.
Yeah.
And this building and the automotive history of this building.
Did you guys know the history of the building?
We've heard a little bit. Yeah. I mean,
so it just used to be a parking garage for the
automotive
Moment Hotel. All the ramps and everything will come in handy, getting upstairs and all of that. So
for sure. So, what have we missed out? I mean, the photo contest, film festival, the helmet showcase.
Oh, yeah. So we've got 15?
13
artists from
country.
Around the country, even one from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We teamed up with Biltwell. They make motorcycle, or I guess helmets and accessories.
Mm-hmm.
We teamed up with them. They sent all those artists helmets, and they are just painting those helmets.
It's like birdhouses, only helmets.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's no restrictions. They get to paint that helmet. However, hours are, what time did we
good question.
End up so going?
We're trying to push it. We're saying 3 to 9 right now. We had originally said 5 to 9, and we're trying to kind of squeeze a little more space in just to, give the vendors plenty of time.
As we've been building this, we've been reaching out to some contacts out of state. So we actually have quite a few artists coming from out of state.
That was going to be my next question, because you're calling up your friends and they're coast to coast and outside of the country as well.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering how far out you've reached. And so that's exciting.
We have a helmet painter coming from Canada, a bunch of people from California.
Yeah.
Darren McKeague, I wanted to throw a shout out to him. He was busy that weekend. You've probably never heard of him, but in the motorcycle world, he's a big time artist. And we wanted him to paint a helmet, but he just doesn't have the time. But he's sending a signed print that we're going to auction off.
That's so cool.
He's out of Iowa. And the helmet showcase, those helmets are going to be here. And we're going to be auctioning all those 13 helmets off the night of. So we're going to do a silent auction on those helmets. You'll be able to place a bid and take one of those helmets home as a piece of art. And all of that money from the silent auction is also going to be donated to the Ogden Youth Impact. Mm-hmm. So we have that going on as well.
Well, for never throwing an event like this, you kind of got a lot of bases covered already. You're doing a pretty good job.
Well, when we haven't gotten like there yet. When you work with someone like Jordan, all the ideas just flow out.
I mean, I don't know why we're here. Jordan's pretty much got it under control.
The quiet assassin over there in the middle. Yeah.
No, it will be really cool, and it's nothing like Utah has seen yet, and so we're just trying to kind of go big and just make it something people really want to be at.
I love that the car show is as popular as it is. I'm sure there's some crossover, but is it mostly like car people go to the car show and motorcycle go to the motorcycle show? Like, what's the
No, I think
there?
There's a lot of crossover.
Is there? Okay.
I mean, we're planning on bringing a lot of, I don't know if we've said it yet, but it's happening. Like, our event is the same time as the car show.
Right.
Like, down the street.
Right.
So we're hoping to pull a lot of those people that will already be at the car show to the Monarch. And I think that's what the Monarch wanted.
Yeah. 100%.
As well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
like you said, like everybody's down there and not up here.
Right,
so
right.
We're trying to draw a percentage of those people up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about putting together like a little street team to go down and just kind of pass out flyers while the car show's going and just, hey, this is what we got going on. And then mm-hmm. I think it's it's good to mention too that there's a bar here. So you can come get.
And we'll have live music.
Yeah, of course.
Food trucks.
It's going to be a great time. Yeah, we'll do our band session show that night. Yeah.
Do you remember who's on June?
I don't.
Look that up.
I'll figure it out.
No, it's not. Are you serious? Is that, you do it on a first Friday? Birds and Brews? Double check the date on that before we.
June 7th. So Strange Familia. So that's
great
Cole's band.
Hard to get them out to play.
Solo named Josh Paul, and then Grace and Silence. which is perfect for that night too.
Awesome.
Which I think Josh is going fully plugged in actually with his band. He might switch it up, but yeah.
I hope so. That's going to be great.
That'll be good. Okay, so we should because you're also podcasters now, pro podcasters.
I don't know about pro.
But I worked for a small business in town for years, and we had the podcast, the Gear 30 podcast, and it was smart because you gather an audience and it goes beyond your borders, right? It goes outside of your town or where you produce the podcast in and introduces your brand to all the things. And so how did you decide to do the podcast and what's it about and where can people find it?
Well, we call it the Built Different Podcast. We wanted it to be a little bit separated from the Tucker Speed brand. And really the reason we did it is because of, you know, Jordan made me do it, kind of.
Jordan's a smart man.
He said, we should do it. And yep. Finally, I'm like, fine, we'll try it. And we're a year in, so.
Yeah, and I like that, at least in the ones, the sections I watched, you weren't pushing the shop necessarily. You were more just pushing information and getting to know people. And that helps people get to know you through the back door, which is very smart.
You want to tell the story?
Oh, I want to hear this story.
Well, I mean, it's nothing crazy. It's just kind of how it all came to be. I mean, we were trying to find ways to kind of tell the story of the shop or let, you know, people kind of see the personalities behind the shop or behind the brand, you know? So we talked a little bit about, you know, maybe we'll just, because we were doing a YouTube channel and putting out YouTube videos, and we talked about, like, you know, maybe monthly or whatever, just me and my guys at the shop jumping on and just kind of BSing, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a get to know the shop type thing. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, if we're going to invest in the equipment and the time and all that, why don't we just like do a legit podcast and have a guest come on and kind of turn it into a podcast. So kind of just started from there. And I do think it's great. I mean, it is a way for people to find our shop and then kind of learn the story of our shop and our brand. Kind of my story, if you will, mm-hmm. and how I got into it and my take on things and also just listening. I mean, we've had a ton of Ogden locals or people from Northern Utah, at least, on the show. If you go back, you know, 6 months or so, you know, from last summer, we would go to races and we would take all of our podcast equipment to the races with us and do a podcast at night after the races with some of the other racers from different states.
And Todd and I have found, like, that's just fun. It's fun to do. Yeah. And you meet people and you for create sure. relationships yeah. that last a lifetime.
Yeah, and that's 100%. I mean, all the people that we've had on our podcast, you know, we still talk to all the time and have relationships with. And yeah. And it's been good for
us. You know
what
they say, once you podcast, you... I don't know.
How often does your podcast come out?
We do an episode every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
We're hoping to get up to one a week, but it's a lot already.
That's the commitment.
So do you know that, this is Chitoma again, for Gear 30, we ran one a day. And it was audio only, and we would record five in a row, like
on
Monday or Tuesday. They were like, well, we said 10 minutes, and then they were immediately 20, and then they were pushing close to 30 minutes apiece. And so it would take like two to three hours to record them all. And then I would go in and we wouldn't edit much, but just throw on an intro, outro. But they were audio only. And we got to after a few months, we're like, what the hell are we going to talk about? Like, we just finally ran out of stuff to talk about. And so we backed it off to like three a week. But again, we would batch record three in a row. But so, and they were not video. When you start doing video, it's a whole nother editing process. But what's the name of the podcast and how can people find it?
It's Built Different with Tucker Speed.
Built Different, like that's that. Right. Built
mm-hmm.
Different.
And we're on, you know, all the podcast platforms and we YouTube. Do YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. So, yep.
And video on Spotify, which is cool.
Yep. Yeah, that's cool.
That's a thing.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Levi, I don't know if you, you need to get up.
I'm
to
an Apple Music kind of guy.
You and I have that in common.
No, I think at some point in everyone's life, they choose either like Apple or Spotify.
I don't know, you just go stick with it.
So what can we do to help for the motorcycle show? Obviously, we're going to start listening to your podcast, but what's your call? What can we do?
Lonus, I mean, your fog machine.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing's awesome.
We need the lights and
that's rich. Yeah.
The colored lights and the fog machine.
We'll bump up that fog. That's a great idea.
Well, to set
we'll
the
be
scene.
Using it for van sessions, and hopefully it just makes everything look cool. I guess, yeah. But
yeah, I mean, just getting the word out there, talking to people. We're going to be down here at the Monarch on 420 for the beer fest.
Hell yeah.
We're going to set up a booth and pass out flyers and talk to people. But yeah, we're just trying to spread the word right now and get people to submit their motorcycles, no matter what they ride.
Mm-hmm.
Just go on the website and submit a bike or a photo or a film. The film festival, we didn't talk much about, but what we want is a 5-minute video.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really like what the video is supposed to tell a story of what motorcycling means to you. And then that the rest of it is up to you. So whether it's culture, motorcycles, racing, whatever it is, create a 5-minute video. And we're still trying to dial in what the prize for that contest is.
We're still trying to dial in a lot.
We still got a lot of work.
Plenty of time.
But I mean, plenty of time. We've got feet on the ground and we're just kind of starting to run with it. So
yeah.
it will be awesome. I mean, if you're in the area or if you're not in the area, be here June 7th because it's going to be a really good time.
It's going to be a party. Yeah. For sure.
Holy cow. No, it sounds amazing.
Brandy called the right people, Brandon.
I know.
Plants.
It was funny because it was an email that just came through into our sales inbox, like our customer service inbox. And we had kind of been talking about trying to put a show together for a while. And we actually had a friend in town from Texas. And he was talking about kind of how he had been tossing around the ideas of like an art show to, you know, showcase photographers. And we had just been bouncing ideas around. And then, yeah, the email came through the inbox. And I had actually been to the Monarch before, so I knew that it was a cool space. I told Tony, I was like, when you see this space, you're going to know it's, you know, perfect for this idea we've been talking about. And it just kind of, I don't know, all fell into place at the right time, I guess.
I'm really glad you said yes. I think that's awesome.
Well, and I mean, I'll give the credit to Jordan because I was like, I mean, I saw the email come in our inbox. I'm like, you know, I thought it was spam or something. I kind of just like blew it off. Like,
I think everything's spam.
Yeah. You know, I was like, I didn't even read it. And he's like, did you see that email? And I'm like, I saw it. Like, I don't know. I didn't really read it. And he's like, I really think we need to like look into this. And I'm like, well, I don't know, whatever. And he was kind of adamant. He's like, we should set up a meeting and go talk to him and check out the space. And I was a little reluctant.
Tony's and, like, I have work to
do. I was like, I'm busy. I got stuff to do.
You've already got me doing podcasts and YouTube, and now you want me to do a bike show.
Yeah, and so, but the second I think I walked through the front gates here, I was like, now I know what he was talking about. You know, then it was like everything, I started picturing everything, all the bikes and the artists and everything. I was like, yeah, this is the space. This is it. So, I mean, it was Jordan that kind of pushed me to, you know, pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and a bike show in general is not, like, for us is not that exciting because most of them are like, you just go to a parking lot, everyone pulls up, you look around at all the bikes for a minute, and then you're like, you hang out with everyone, and then you're like, all right, now what? You know, now everyone goes home. But we were like, this is an opportunity to make it into something bigger than, you know, just a parking lot bike show. And mm-hmm. yeah, it just, the space is cool and, you know, gives us an opportunity to do something bigger for our state.
And the fact that it's the first annual, you can just work things out.
Yep.
Yeah,
for sure.
I like the idea of that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when I first toured it anyway, we kind of went to everybody that was here on First Friday and just kind of told them, you know, like, hey, this is what we're doing. How can we get you involved? You know, because we definitely want to, like Jordan said, like we want to bridge that gap and just kind of get everyone involved. So.
This is totally random. Is there a definition of what a motorcycle is? So I see these dudes on e-bikes on the sidewalk / road. Like, what are the rules? Like, what's considered a motorcycle, a scooter? Is there a definition?
I don't know the real definition. I would just say anything with two wheels. There's opinions on what's a real motorcycle or a cool motorcycle. But on that note, something we forgot to mention is we do have Super 73, which they basically make e-bikes. And we've got they agreed to come out and they're going to bring some demo bikes and we're going to try to set up a little course where people can, you know, ride around.
Oh, I
want to
try that. Those are cool bikes.
Yeah, they're super
cool. Dude, my kid has an E dirt bike. That thing hauls ass. Oh. It's I love those. For kids, especially to learn on, they're amazing. Yeah.
They're good for parents too because there's like no maintenance involved. Charge it and let them rip.
Totally. I know. Oh my God. My friend had a Honda 50 that we learned on in his backyard and that was a nightmare. We tore up that backyard but I learned how to shift. You know what I mean? I learned how to do the things that you're supposed to do. So then when I was old enough to actually have a license and stuff, I knew I know how it works, you know?
Yeah. But I think kids nowadays too, like they probably don't even have to learn that. I think they transition, everything will just become electric anyway. And by the time they're, you know, riding on the street, they'll be
Tony's like, no,
bike.
No, never.
The bikes are just sneaky though. They're sneaky.
Yeah. They are sneaky and they're sneaky quick. Well, and we go to the park by my house and it's quite gay. There's like old people walking with their headphones in and he whips by him. I'm like, dude, you gotta give him a warning or something.
I just went and did a dirt bike race in Mesquite. It's called the Gypsy 500. So it's a 500 minute race. So it's 8.5 hours. And some of the people there were on e-bikes, and towards the end when I was really tired, I got passed by a lot of e-bikes, but you can't hear them coming. And it's just crazy. Cause you're riding your bike so loud. And then all of a sudden someone's just zipping by you and you're like, I didn't hear that.
How did they charge them for that long?
So it was
swapping batteries.
It was actually the owner of Stark Varg. It's a new brand of e-bikes or of electric dirt bikes. He actually came out and did the race. So I think they just brought like a ton of bikes. Don't quote me on this, but I think those batteries are interchangeable. So they probably just had some spare batteries and stuff. I mean, if you're the CEO of the company, you probably are.
You're swapping bikes or batteries. Yeah. You got to do. Yeah. Okay.
So.
Because you're not going to pull over and charge for an hour.
He's got a backpack on with batteries in it.
Yeah. But it was cool to see him out there. And I mean, those bikes they're cool and see the technology on them kind of getting better.
I think that's rad.
All right. Anything else? Did we miss anything? You want to touch on?
Were you going to tell them we're best friends?
We are best friends.
Yeah, me and Tony are best friends.
For how long? Like, when did you meet? Kindergarten?
Like 30 minutes ago.
You're my best friend.
Yeah. No, you are. Very good. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. I think it's going to be a wonderful show. Again, if you want to hold up the little promo flyer at all, June 7th. It's got a great name, Two-Bit Moto Show, because it's right here on 25th Street.
Who came up with that name? Tony, man.
Well, it was longer. We had to abbreviate it.
What was the full-length version of the...
I think it was, originally, I think it was the Tucker Speed's Two-Bit Motorcycle and Art Show at the Monarch.
And then
these guys started to try and put a logo together, and they're like, yeah, we need to cut some words out of there.
Oh, my God. So it's the Two-Bit, and it's basically presented by Tucker Speed. Is that...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're the ones paying for it.
Yep. Well, it will...
Levi's not. He
rewards
don't have
you
money.
Greatly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't have any money, so...
Sweat. It's all sweat.
Yeah. Sweat and
greasy
tears.
Sweat. Yep.
I'm just working for pats on the back.
Yep.
We're going to be there, obviously, because we're working as well for Van Sessions, but I'm really excited about it. Good luck. We've worked a lot of events. Reach out if you have any questions or concerns.
I'm sure we will.
So
yeah, we actually have a list of questions for you after the podcast.
Okay, good. Todd, do you have any arts news that you wanted to chat about real quick?
Update on the same announcement. Finchley Gallery open call for artists through April 28th. I know you know that these artists are going to submit applications on like April 27th.
Last minute, per usual.
But just know that the date is a Sunday night at 11:59, which means you can't call me on Sunday. I'm not saying I chose that specifically because it's
Sunday.
But
I always do.
But it means that if you are having technical difficulties with the site, etc., it means you got to work things out on a Friday or a Thursday. But everything's online, saltlakearts.org.
As far as outdoor news, Powder Mountain had their last day. I was up there the day before for their No Joke Telly race DJing. That was pretty fun. And so the winter season is winding down. I mean, Alta might be open for a long time because they got, so much snow. Like 2 years in a row.
Snow Basin ends this weekend?
Snow Basin, I think, has a week or two left. But It might be this weekend. You might be right, Randy. Yeah.
It was still like 32 this morning.
I know.
Yeah, but it's going to be 70 by the weekend. So
During the day.
During the day.
That just means it's Harley season.
It's Harley spike season. Well, that's just it. Is I always, and it kills me because I'm like, yo, I've ridden bikes in storms. They're terrible, but it's like, dude, just because the sun's out doesn't mean that at 40 degrees is warm to ride a bike. Like, it kills me when these dudes are riding bikes and
dudes do it
40 degrees. I know.
We see them all winter.
It's don't so point cool. at them.
I don't.
If it's not 80 out, they're not on.
I'm fair weather.
I like it.
Yeah.
Understood.
I only had a bike for like a summer. Summer was like my only ride, and it was awesome because you could park wherever you want. I was going to school at the time. You could park wherever you wanted up at Weber State, and then like started getting cold like October. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta sell my bike and buy a car because it's cold outside.
Jordan's like 18 feet tall, so it's extra cold on him.
There's no windscreen that saves him. They don't make him big enough. It's like I'm warm from the neck down. Thanks so much, you guys, for coming on the program. Want to say thank you to Banyan One, that is this trailer, for powering today's episode of the Ogden Arts and Adventure Show. You can listen and subscribe to the Ogden Arts and Adventure Show on YouTube. Look for us on Facebook, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and also we have those things called a website, thebanyancollective.com. Also the Podbean app for Android and iPhones. If you want to be on the show, DM us. It's me. DM us. It's me. On Instagram at Ogden Adventure to be considered. Slide into those DMs. If you find value in this podcast, consider supporting us at buymeacoffee.com/Banyan Media. We'll take you out this week with Girl You Can't Lose. Dude, Christine Baird is killing it on the YouTubes. Like, her full show has already got over 1,000 downloads. She's doing fantastic. Her songs were awesome. This is called Girl You Can't Lose, as recorded live on Van Sessions. We'll see you on the next Ogden Arts and Adventure Show.
How's everybody doing? Give my hand something to hold. Quit feeding me lies. I've been down that road. Talking big like you're so fine. Typical guy with typical lines. But you call me pretty, then you made your move. Next you left the city, left my mind too. You've been missing me, oh I know you do. That's the thing with being the girl you can't lose. Oh, try it again a little too late. Don't tell me goodbye and expect me to wait. No, I know you're caught up in blue. I'm the girl you can't lose. Let you call me pretty, then you made your move. Next you left the city, left my mind too. You thought I'd be running after you. Hey boys, would you tell him who I am? It's called insanity when you repeat the past with certainty. Bet you thought I'd never walk away. Well, this girl ain't got no interest in sitting laying your case. that's the thing with being. The girl you can. Thank you.